Derek.
God. Derek, who are you? Yeah.
Who am I?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show of all time. It's Under the Radar,
part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friend.
Happy birthday, belated.
Belated and good.
Your friend of mine, Derek Van Riper.
Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah, that's very nice. Deep.
That's true, too. Dang. Dang. Can I tell you this? I'm going to be saying dang through this whole show, and it's really one person's fault, and I couldn't figure it out. About a week ago, I was watching baseball, and something bad would happen to one of my players, like, you know, give up a single, first and third, single, and I'm like, and I just find myself going, dang, dang. And I'm like, where did I get this dang? It's like, dang. And it's just constant now. Like anytime something happens that I'm like, or even if I'm like excited and kind of surprised, I'm like, dang, you know, it's like, dang is my new word. So I'm sure I'm going to say it today. It's Steve Gardner's fault because I was talking to him on the phone. Talking to him on the phone on Monday. We're just talking about a trade that we were trying to make with a player in XFL, which is a league that I'm in with DVR, many leagues in with DVR. And so I started and I said, dang. And he goes, and I said, wait a minute. You say dang all the time. And he goes, oh, yeah, I say dang all the time. And I was like, oh, man. So dang is like part of my vocabulary now. And I kind of like it and I kind of don't. I'm not sure. So you're going to hear dang from me quite a few times over the course of the show, I imagine.
Can't wait.
There it is.
Yeah.
Diver can edit all those out.
I could edit, or at least like some of them.
Dang. I mean, we could do a count.
Oh.
No, don't worry about it. I'll control it. I'll control it.
All right, let's jump in. Come on, let's come on.
Let's play ball.
Let's play ball. Not a lot, you know. Like I've gotten into the habit now of not putting a ton in because I know Ian's stuff is coming. We got a very interesting show today. A lot of good stuff. I want to start with birthday update, but I think we should do some fantasy stuff first. We also got some nice responses about shallow league advice. I saw on Twitter.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I don't know if it'll fit here, but I mean,
it'll fit. We can find it because I got,
but also that's all
out.
You talk about already.
12 team.
Yeah. I mean, like,
not really,
we're kind of doing it.
Well, what actually made me think is that we could make a show that's a 12 team show. You know what I mean? That's like that, because my brother, who was part of my birthday weekend at the Yankee game on Sunday, which was a surprise, which is part of the, if we get to the time for the weekend birthday update, said to me,
yeah, we'd like to hear about all the stuff you did without us.
No, but it's going to start with you guys, but no, let's start with your list. Cause every one of these is interesting to me. So,
someone put that top, was that you, Ian?
No, Yolbert Sanchez.
Oh, is it you? We got an email. Look at that. That's an email.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, look at that. It says external and it says inbox.
All right.
DVR took a screen grab. So the subject is Nando guy ? This is from Terry. I don't know. We don't do last names, right? I don't give the last name. Terry.
No, we don't do last names. Protect the emailers.
Santiago Espinal. Not a Nando guy. Might be an Ian guy. Probably not a DVR guy.
See, I would have guessed he was a Nando guy. Looking at the profile and then comparing him to someone you had on the rundown for today, I'm actually surprised he wasn't someone you've picked up in the last couple of weeks.
Who'd you compare him to? Yolbert Sanchez?
Yeah, actually, I think there's some similarities in terms of what those guys can do for our fantasy teams.
I think Yolbert Sanchez has much higher power upside. And plus, he's a little seasoned. You know, he was a Cuban guy who played in the Cuban leagues for a little while. Santiago Espinal, to me, I mean, look, he's got a couple seasons of 27 doubles, which I believe, you know, once you go over 25, you got a shot. Once you go over like 30 to 35, you've got real power, I think, coming. But I don't know, like, you know what, maybe it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, he was up for a little bit replacing someone, and I think Caitlin McGrath somehow, some way, suggested like he's gonna play a lot in place of someone. I can't remember who it was. And I got on him, and I actually put him on an American League only team that I have, 10-team American League team. And he just kind of, you know, played a little bit here, a little bit there, and then was gone. So I looked at him then, and I wasn't crazy. And I looked at him just now when I saw the rundown, and I'm still like, you know, he's got the batting average, but I don't think the power is real.
I think, well, what I think he's got is playing time right now, and he's a good baseball player, so it may give him more time. I'm going to sidebar this for just 1 second, Jack, and say this. I know couldn't be earlier, right? And we could talk about where we are in the standings, and it's a little silly, although it's not in some leagues already. But there's one league that I'm in that I'm not going to compete in this league. It's been a good season so far. It's definitely been a good season. But there's one league I'm in that I drafted, I think like just on a whim. And I was like, hey, let's do this. It's a NFBC 50. Let's do it with Nando DeFino and Derek Van Riper, and the three of us will do it, right?
Oh, the Nap League. Yeah.
Yes. I want to give an update on that about our friend and partner, Nando DeFino. Presently, there are 16,000 member. I think there are 16,000 teams in this 50s. DVR, would you like to guess where our friend is in the overall?
Oh, this is good, because I don't know.
I saw that he really? Was winning yeah, the no league. Idea. He was winning yes, our league at one point, like in the last couple days. He's still winning
He's winning our league by a tremendous amount.
He's probably in the top 25 then, if he's winning by a lot.
He, out of 16,000, he is number 16.
Yeah. All right.
So now what is that? Is that top 0.01%, or is it top 0.1? I'm not great at the math, but here's how we did it so far. There's a couple of this is all Nando guys on this team. And I think we found Nando's like best format, which is a 12 team mixed league where he can just not have to worry about, you know, you just draft all these players and you get all your guys, but there's enough players that you don't have to be so disciplined to make sure that you're building the team properly. Right. Because I think that sometimes our friend gets in a little trouble with that, but here are a couple of guys.
I've admitted that you don't have to be shy about that. Yeah.
I said it. All right. Here are a couple of guys on this team. Ty France is a Nando DeFino guy. He's on this team.
Yeah.
Gavin Lux is a Nando DeFino guy. He's on this team. Jared Walsh, Bryce Harper, Jesse Winker. Winker's not been amazing yet, but here's where it gets a little silly. Here's his pitching staff: Walker Buehler, Pablo Lopez, Yu Darvish, Noah Syndergaard. He was like, it's Syndergaard everywhere.
It worked so far.
Joe Ryan, Tristan McKenzie.
Joe Ryan's
last night.
A DVR guy, to be fair.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm just saying who's on the team. Yu Darvish and Jesus Luzardo. On his bench, he's got Jorge Mateo. He's got Rowdy Tellez. These are guys who are helping, but they're on his bench. Andy Ibañez, Rylan Bannon's on this team. Go figure.
He's tearing it up in AAA.
On the pitching side, Nestor Cortez is on the bench. Nestor Cortez is on the bench. On
I gotta get
team.
It. Who'd you put him
Green
in for?
Is,
I gotta
no,
get him
nobody.
Up there. Yeah.
I can't argue. I mean, who are you getting? Maybe Tristan McKenzie you take out of the rotation, because you're not gonna take Kopech out. You're not gonna take Syndergaard out. Can't take Luzardo out. You know, it's a remarkable start for our friend. And I just want to point that out, because look, things are going well for me. I got some good things going. This is one league where it's not going great so far. But Nando's number 16 out of 16,000, everybody. And it's all with Nando DeFino guys, Joey Bart, guys like that. Wander Franco, who were all like, you know, and he's like, no, Wander Franco. What do you mean? Wander Franco. He's going to be great. Isn't he going to be great? And he's ridiculous. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there and just say, when Nando speaks, that's why I listen. Look, I picked up Ty France off the wire with Robert Mershak 2 years ago, because my friend was banging the drum on Ty France. And I liked him too. Now, I remember drafting him in Mocky, or I think it was Mocky or GDD last year, and DVR texted me going, did you do that for Nando? I was like, no, I kind of did it because I think it's going to work out. And now Ty France is like top five player in baseball. For fantasy.
Tell you what, so, I've got a problem in that all these times I've had these NFBC teams, I've basically always done them with Chris Vaccaro as a partner, our friend Chris Vaccaro. And he sets the lineups. You know, he's very, I don't want to say, well, let me pick the right word, because I know he listens to the show. He's very astute and likes to be in control of fantasy teams all the time. Sure. And so basically he would just set the lineups for us. And so now I've got to remind myself, NFBC, you can set your lineups twice a week. And I haven't done that. And actually, I'll also admit this, for the first week and a half of this league, I didn't realize, like, in my head it was a cut line. So I wasn't even like, oh, I got it. This is one of the lineups I have to set every week. And now I got to send it two times a week. So this is going to be
all this time building up. I just spent all this time building every credibility. And now he didn't know he had to set his line.
I've spent my entire life trying to follow the rules and live up to these arbitrary standards set by other people. And I don't know why. Like the older I get, the more I wonder why I haven't just wandered around in my underpants this entire time.
California has taken him over.
I love it. DVR gets it. He's been awakened.
He has. Listen to him. Like these arbitrary rules. I mean, it's like that is the Wisconsin to California move right there. Why was I being held back? Now that I'm here in California, it all makes sense. Just live your life, right? Right? Is that kind of the vibe you're feeling, DVR?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Good man. Good man. That's a good place to come from for sure. For sure. Good stuff. Anyway, I wanted to throw some love out there.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, I mean, you have the things in your game. We all have places in our game that need to be improved. And you certainly have places in your game that need improvement. And you have places in your game that
appreciate
are uniquely
that.
Great.
Certainly.
No, that are uniquely great that you see. So if you want to ask, is it a Nando guy? It's a good question because you see something. And when you're high on a guy, he's worth a pickup. Like Bubba Thompson, I think a couple of weeks ago, DBR and I both were sort of like, yeah, all right.
I might have laughed. I think I laughed at the suggestion of Bubba Thompson being useful. And I think I owe you an apology for that.
Sorry. You know what it is? I mean, he's a knucklehead. Let's not forget that. I mean, as we're you know, well, bowing
you
to
that.
The greatness.
He's not a knucklehead.
I'm talking about
I am
you.
Or Bubba Thompson.
You. Yeah, you're the knucklehead.
Thanks, yeah, friend.
For sure. You're 100% knucklehead. But there are moments, you know. I mean, look, I like Nestor Cortez as much as few people. I like him more than most. But you love this cat from 2.5 years ago when he was getting shuttled between Seattle and New York and New York and Seattle. That's why what's the guy that you can't give up on who's now on the Cubs, the soft tossing lefty that you're convinced?
Steven Gonsalves.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and every time I tweet about him, either it might be his wife or his mother or someone likes them all, which is you feel like you're doing, you know, something nice for someone.
Yes, but okay, great. But so as much as we laugh, and we do, and we should, because you don't know to set your freaking lineup, you also see something.
No, I do. I know. I just twice a week I wasn't ready for. You can blame Chris Vaccaro for that.
No, you can blame you for that. Let's not blame Chris.
It's Vaccaro's fault.
How is it Vaccaro's fault?
It is. He'll be the first to admit it.
No, he won't.
It's like if I've like always been driven around my entire life and someone's like, hey, drive this car. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, now
what
you're
do these
the top
buttons do?
That one's your fault for not knowing how the car works. That's
it's
on
time
you.
To learn how to drive, sir. It's time to, I was going to say son, but I decided to go with sir. See, that changed the whole experience by going sir instead of son. The little words matter a lot. Rich Hill is not pitching a lot of innings, but can he still get you Ks in low ratios, Nando?
Oh, I just wanted to point out Steven Gonsalves has a 16.4 K per nine right now for Iowa.
Well, see, this is the crazy nuts of it all. So
that's all.
Mershak, maybe we should think about Gonsalves.
Something to think about.
And he's on the Cubs, right? He's with the Cubs.
Did he's on Iowa. Right? He's down in Iowa right now.
Very good. Well, I mean, in the system, in the Cubs system.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Wait a minute. I think Nando is lawyering us on the show. I think he did it. He's setting up Vaccaro's character to make Chris seem a certain way, playing a long game there to eventually convince us later that he's right about something that he's going to do.
No.
Hasn't even decided what that is yet, but he's trying to set up Chris a certain way. And I think he just neglected to mention that Steven Gonsalves also is walking 14% of the batters he's facing at AAA.
Oh, DVR.
But wait, 16 per nine? Is that right, DVR?
Yeah, 16 per nine, but he's walking almost 6 per 9. So that's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work.
Maybe as a reliever.
But the 16 per nine is pretty fun. Yeah.
We should be at the point where you throw him in the bullpen at least and get 2 or 3 innings from him, right? I mean, you can't just wait forever. Like, see what he can do.
He's got a bit of a walk problem.
He's got a bit of a walk problem. Under the radar, guys, we haven't talked about Keegan Thompson on the show. We talked a little bit about Strider on the show. And maybe it's been discussed on other shows and I haven't caught it. Certainly in only leagues. And if we're talking about 10 to 12 team leagues, talking about only leagues is sort of like, you know, what are we doing, guys? But it is under the radar still. Keegan Thompson, I picked him up in NL Tout this week because he's giving him, he's like the follower from last year, except he's really good so far. DVR, what do you think of that idea of a Keegan Thompson with a zero ERA and 13 and two thirds innings and a 0.659 whip with 14 strikeouts populating an only team?
Yeah, I think as one of your last pitchers, it definitely can work, right? I mean, if you had five full-time starters and two sources of saves and, you know, maybe like one short reliever, one long reliever, or two long relievers, I think that can work because the difference in innings between a back-end starter who might hurt your ratios and a two-to-three-inning reliever who's actually good at turning a lot of over once, like that, yeah, that can work. And I think it plays in that format. I think players like Keegan Thompson become increasingly difficult to use as you know, make the player pool larger.
Mm. Not a 15-team league. I'm not talking about that.
Right. Those leagues, I think guys like this are just tough because they're not getting enough innings relative to the other players on your roster.
I'm taking it from a Garrett Whitlock position. Like, I'm looking at Garrett Whitlock and I'm saying, I want Garrett Whitlock on every one of my teams. I don't know if he's going to get wins, when he gets a win. I don't know when he gets a save. I don't know anything, but I know that when he pitches, he dominates. And he pitches for three innings at a time, four innings at a time. And he'll give you four innings, no runs, two hits, one walk, seven strikeouts. Now, Thompson's not that good, but what I'm doing is in both in my AL labor and NL tout, I'm trying to find those guys. The Michael Kings, he'll give you three innings and eight strikeouts. Like, I just think that there's so much value in getting high strikeout relievers who are going to give you more. Like, in the old days, it was Chad Green, right? Everyone, Ariel Cohen used to talk about Chad Green should be on your team every year. This is like Chad Green on steroids to me, until he blows up and gives up nine runs. And then it's like, oh, wow, Keegan Thompson, I gotta hate you. But if he really is real, because Strider kind of did that a little bit last week, unfortunately. But if Thompson is real, it just feels like a really valuable piece to have on a team.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule, too, because I know they've had two series against the Pirates already, but his four appearances, one was home against the Brewers, one was road against the Rockies, home against the Rays.
And yeah, road against the Rockies against the where I paid attention. Yeah. Anytime you go, and what did he do against the Rockies? Can you read that line?
Three and a third, scoreless, 1K. So the stuff wasn't moving in Colorado. But yeah, he's got four or five Ks in each of the three appearances. So he's been useful. And I think the NL Central is... well, it's kind of garbage in terms of offense. The Reds are horrendous right now. The worst offense in the league by far. The Brewers are bottom three, the way they've been playing.
Willy Adames and Anthony Rizzo last night just kind of said, hello.
Yeah, Willy Adames had 2 weeks in one night last night.
Yes, that's right. And so did Anthony Rizzo. He had a month last night. Did you see what Rizzo did last night, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, that was fun to watch. That was a fun baseball game to watch. And I was at the game on Sunday, but we can get to that later.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Anyway, I wanted to ask about this concept of the new middle reliever slash follower, the Whitlock. Let's call it the Whitlock.
Well, you know, in the context of Rich Hill, it's interesting because
right,
Hill's going to get screwed out of that win that the Whitlock's going to steal from him.
That's a bad comp.
You know, I mean, like Rich Hill's going to go four innings and he could, you know.
But he's not going to get the win.
Right, exactly.
Wouldn't you rather have the guy who's coming in after Hill, who may be better and then has the chance to get the win? Because Hill could get the lead. He could be up 5-2, come out at the end of the fourth, and whoever comes in next and pitches the next 2-3 innings, that's the guy I think I want.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he's going to, as long as he's good, like you don't want to just put in a bad pitcher. But if you have somebody who fits, like that would be an interesting thing to find who in baseball is that guy on each team.
But here's the question. Rich Hill right now is only pitching. Like, I mean, is he someone you might want to like eyeball because the Red Sox are eventually going to loosen him up and let him go five innings, I would assume. Like, you don't just, I mean, Rich Hill has done innings before. In a month from now, will he be pitching those five innings and be back to, you know, his low ratios and a lot of strikeouts? And you speculate on him? Or do you, just say screw it. He's, you know.
No, he's
it's
on,
not worth
he's
waiting until he
teams.
Gets to five.
He's owned on most teams, isn't he?
I don't think so, man. CBS 8%.
Yeah, he's 8%. He's more popular in our leagues than in most leagues. I think the other thing here, I think Nando was hinting at this, is that we have a lot of starters going shorter than expected right now, and I think that's also narrowed the gap between the Keegan Thompsons and the Whitlocks compared to a lot of starters. Some starters, like Max Scherzer, he's doing
right
normal things. But I think the further you go into the season, once you take some of the extra bullpen arms away from everybody's roster, that's going to force the starters to work a little deeper, and they're going to be like stretched out the way they ordinarily would be at the beginning part of the season. So I think that gap is going to open up a little bit. I think this is an early season thing that happens every year, though, where you have some relievers that work more than expected. It's cold. They haven't been seen a lot, and they pitch really well to start the season. So I still feel like the best place to leverage that tends to be the AL and NL only leagues. But I think in deep keeper and dynasty leagues, occasionally you're going to scoop up someone who becomes a starter. And I think that's probably what Keegan Thompson is because of where he pitches.
And Strider. And in an NL only league, I mean, I'm going to read you my rotation right now, presently, with Taiwan Walker still in the IL, who is my number five or four or five, depending, and Dylan Floro coming back also. But so here's the rotation right now. Is looking good. The team is looking real good. Half point out, 91 points to 91.5. Next close team, 73, but early as early can be. But Rodon is number one. Lizardo, Marcus Stroman, Kyle Hendricks, right? So those are my four starters that I've got going right now. Then I've got Keegan Thompson and Strider as my long guys. And the closers are Edwin Diaz, Daniel Bard, and Tanner Scott for now until Floro comes in. Scott is just sort of a filler. And I had to make a decision between Taiwan Walker. Did I want Walker to come back? Because it looks like he's going to start against the Phillies. And I reached out to Glenn Colton. Happy anniversary, Glenn Colton, 10 years. Colton and the Wolfman listened to the show last night. Beautiful job. So much fun to listen to. Congratulations, 10 years on the air. And Cushing. And Glenn actually helped me make the decision. He's like, you got to go Tanner Scott.
Glenn and Cushing are the only two who didn't acknowledge your birthday messages.
I know. That's why I called them to say, yo, what's up?
What did they say?
Glenn's like, they have my phone number. They have my number. They should have called me. I don't read my messages on Twitter. I don't know if that's a good Glenn Colton, but that's the one that came out. And Cushing, we were just talking about other stuff. But anyway, the question was Taiwan Walker. So I'll ask you guys, which way would you have done? Taiwan Walker, one start coming off of injury against the Phillies at home, or Tanner Scott, who had just gotten a save and then a blow up, but was in position to get saves. And then Bender came back again and got a save last night. Hopefully Dylan Floro comes back and takes that job back so I can have a third full-time closer. DVR, what would you have done?
That's a really close call. For an NL-only league, I probably would have been more comfortable trying to take the innings, but in mixed leagues, I was finding every reason not to use Taiwan Walker. So
yeah,
that's pretty much a coin flip sort of decision. I think Scott was still interesting, even though he had a meltdown on Sunday. He throws really hard. The stuff's always been good. You know, getting out of the hitter-friendly version of Camden Yards, I think, was a good thing for him. And I'm not convinced that Dylan Floro and Anthony Bender are better than Tanner Scott. So I think there's still a chance that he emerges to be their preferred option for saves. But there's always risk watching someone try to figure it out on the fly. Always.
That's my concern about Walker. I was like, and against that lineup, I think that's a really good team. You know, if it was in Philly, it wouldn't even be a question. You definitely wouldn't start Walker at home. I thought maybe, but then I'm like, what if he's good, what is he going to pitch? Four innings? He'll give you four innings. Scott can give me four innings over the course of the week and get us a save. We're not going to get the win from Walker. By the way, quick under the radar player. If you have an extra spot, Matthew Liberatore is on my bench. He was one of my reserve picks in Tout, and he is doing really real good in St. Louis in AAA. So I think it's AAA. Maybe he's in AA, but I think he's in AAA. And last start was seven innings, nine strikeouts, no runs. I can very much see Matthew Liberatore finally getting his opportunity in St. Louis. And once he gets that opportunity, he might hold it.
Who comes up first, him or Nolan Gorman? How about that as a nice segue into Nolan Gorman?
I think Liberatore comes up sooner, especially with Jordan Hicks looking like he was injured last night. And also Jordan Hicks, like that situation, we should also talk about that bullpen situation, because Gallegos, booyah, 4 earned runs. And again, it was against the Mets. That was the wildest ninth inning I had seen until last night's ninth inning, which I was watching because Gregory Soto was pitching against the Minnesota Twins. That was insane that the Mets won that baseball game. Buck Showalter, manager of the year so far, top, you know, number 16 out of 16,000. He's that good right now. The Mets are for real.
Buck Showalter's always been a good, he's always been a good manager. He got screwed with those last couple Baltimore years.
DVR, what do you think? Liberatore or Gorman?
I kind of think there's a chance Gorman gets up first. The K rate has to come down, but they're both going to have pretty significant opportunities with the Cards this year. I mean, I think this is a team that has a plan for Jordan Hicks that would be really fun if it works. And I know it was a comebacker. It wasn't like an arm injury from usage that knocked him out of the game on Tuesday. I'm excited that he could be good in a longer role, but also skeptical that it's going to work. And I think between that, the Flaherty injury, there's just a few ways you could see Liberatore getting that chance to come up.
But where does Gorman play is the problem.
Like Corey Dickerson's going to hit his way off this roster, I think, or at least play his way into the extra outfielder role. They already sent Nootbaar down. They play Pujols more than I expected.
Yeah.
But I think if you were going to shuffle some things around, you could have Dylan Carlson possibly go down if he continues to struggle. So there's one path, and you move Edmund around. Dickerson, I think, is the more likely path, right? Because you're opening up DH at bats. You just flow other guys through there and play Gorman probably at second, move Edmund around and DH someone else on those days. So I think it's two non-injury paths. I'm surprised Corey Dickerson's not doing a little more. It's too early to make a firm call on it. But when they made that late addition, I thought this is actually going to work. There could be 450 plate appearances for him, and he provides a little bit of power. We saw it. Saw it just a couple years ago, but I don't know. He might be done. Maybe it's just the end of the road for him.
I'm changing my mind. I'm saying Nolan Gorman now.
You don't have to say that. Come on.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense I've got Pujols in NL Tout. I picked him up last week, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. So I want Pujols to play 3 days a week. That would be awesome. That makes some sense. But now it comes to the question that you have. Is he a good selling piece right now? And Dr. Thomas Scott, as we were talking about a trade that we ended up making in Maki, depending on whatever you want to call it. We made a trade where we traded Jordan Lawler and Mitch Haniger on a keeper contract, which is pretty decent keeper contract. And Taylor Hearn, which is just a throw-in, for pretty much 1 year of Baez, 1 year of Verlander, and a reserve pick, Kyle Gibson. And he was saying to me, the guy we should trade is Nolan Gorman right now.
Oh, look at that. All right.
Hey, right. That's why I went there. Do you think so? Is DVR, is Nolan Gorman a sell now?
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, yeah, I think any impact back close to the big leagues is going to bring a lot. I think we're seeing plenty of very good young hitters struggling to break through at the big league level. It's a tough adjustment right now. So if you're playing for this year and feel like you're getting enough value on that, something that's going to put you over the top, sure, I think it makes sense timing wise.
Nando?
If you look at, you know, me, like how I do my thing, like I just go to MILB.com and look up home run leaders, strikeout leaders, whatever. Like Nolan Gorman's been getting so much social media play.
He had 8 home runs in 8 days.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look, two guys in the Pacific Coast League had more home runs than him. Matt Davidson had more home runs than him. No one said a word when he got called up. I guess maybe because Matt Davidson's been around for a while.
Right.
But he had 9. You know what I mean? No one's talking about him. Oh, I'm sorry, he had 8. Trace Thompson has 9. So, like, I don't know. Like, this just goes back to me agreeing with you guys. Like, Nolan Gorman, I think, is like almost like a brand now. And I know we've been waiting for him. He's a top prospect and whatever, but if he's like top prospect, I just gonna assign a number to him. Like, let's say he's a 75. Right now, you could sell him as a 90. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's buzz. And I think that buzz, people are going to be clamoring to grab him. And it's not just teams that are rebuilding in Dynasty. I think he's just like a hot commodity to have.
Yeah, but when he comes up, he's going to end up with a 159 batting average for the first month.
That's to our advantage. That's why we should trade him away.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Pick him up.
Put him up on the
wire. Quietly
put him up on the wire. Yeah. I'm going to put him on the wire right now.
You could get a lot. I mean, you could get a lot for him. Maybe you could get Joe Adele, maybe.
In a dynasty league, Joe Adele. Are we talking about Joe Adele? By the way, Jerks and Profar still hitting. Joe Adele, Nolan Gorman. Who are you taking, Derek?
Derek, who are you? Yeah.
Who am I? DVR, who are you taking? Nolan Gorman or Joe Adele in Dynasty?
Probably Gorman at this point.
Nando?
I'm still taking Joe Adele.
I'm taking Joe Adele, too.
Yeah.
I'm taking Joe Adele.
Mike Trout, pep talks. Hey, let's talk about Ian's birthday. We've gotten deep enough into the show. I think we've earned it at this point.
Okay, so I have to tell you, this was an amazing birthday weekend for me. It was really quite amazing. And the beginning of the birthday for me was what you guys did for me last week. It was so awesome. Oh. It like brought me so much joy. I was so grateful to you guys. And it was like, oh, all right, there's my birthday. Oh, it's begun. And oh, it's kind of special. I get it. It's 50 years. And then it was just like a series of surprises, one after the other, that my wife kind of set up for me, and culminating in she bought four tickets for us for the Yankee game in the section that my dad, when we had season tickets between 1990, when no one was at Yankee Stadium, all the way through 2007, the end of the old stadium, then the new stadium, we didn't buy tickets. We'd go to games, but we didn't have tickets. But for like that 17 years, we sat in the same seats for every playoff game, for every World Series game, every opening day. And she got us four tickets for myself, my wife, my two sons. And then over the course of, as we got there, first my younger brother showed up, who lives in Manhattan with his lovely wife and his two children, and they showed up. And then my older brother showed up, who had driven in from Boston to be at the game. Well, to see my mom also, but also to be at the game and surprise me. So it was remarkable. And there were so many awesome moments in between, but those were two of the real highlights for me and kind of the bookends of the birthday. And I really want to thank you guys because it was so awesome. I really did appreciate it.
I hope Glenn Colton is listening to this and knows what he could have been a part of if he would have just checked his DMs.
People seem to like the RL Cohen, George Washington. I don't think that's right. that doesn't strike me right.
He's very good. You got to tell him to stop.
No, it's okay.
You've created that monster, by the way. This is on you, 100%.
Well, he actually has a talent for it because his Nando's very good. His Beller is remarkably good. I don't think he does DVR. I think he's scared of doing DVR. He doesn't want to do DVR. But it was just so sweet of you guys to do it. And like DVR putting in the, like, to me, the coup de grace, the coup de grace was when Mershak came up and DVR had put in opera music underneath. And it was so weird because at the beginning of the show last week, like we always get on the Zoom for a minute and we're like, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Okay. And you guys both looked kind of stressed. And I was like, everybody okay? All right, let's do the show. And then it was like, oh no, because you were planning this thing. So it's just so loving and so appreciated. Just so deeply appreciated. Spencer Howard is back, Nando. Spencer Howard, do you really believe in Spencer Howard? Because I traded Steve Gardner. Dang. That's my new thing for Steve Gardner. Perfect. So I traded Steve Gardner, dang, Jake Odorizzi for a reservable Spencer Howard and AL labor, which I'm in second place in, but Eno is, as of right now, running away right now, running away. I'm going to catch him, at least make it hard for him, I hope, if I don't get caught by everyone else from behind. But I traded Odorizzi for Spencer Howard. Spencer Howard scares me, but he was reservable.
Why? Look at his number. He's been good everywhere.
Dude, he gives up so many walks and hits and runs. That's why.
Oh, that's just major league Spencer Howard.
Well, that's who I'm playing. I'm not playing in the AL minor league labor. I'm playing in the AL major league labor. So if Spencer Howard makes my lineup, he's going to have to play against major leaguers. So tell me what you see on Spencer Howard and why you think it's so special when the Phillies were so quick to trade him.
I don't think they were that quick to trade him. He's 25. I mean, it took a while.
Yeah, but they traded him. He came in on the 24th. I mean, look, his two times where he's pitched in the majors.
With a blister the second time.
Okay.
First time.
The first time, there was no blister. It was just the Toronto Blue Jays blistering him over the course of three innings for six runs, six hits, four home runs, and 5 strikeouts. It's pretty good. And then at Oakland, which is not really good because they're not as bad as the Reds, but maybe 2 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. At least it's consistent. They did have 4 strikeouts. What is it about Spencer Howard? Why should I be not trying to flip him to someone else?
I think his minor league stats. I mean, he had a elite level whip his last couple of years in the minors. He finished with a 1.13 whip in his career over, 235 innings pitched. 3.10 ERA, but his K per nine was 11.9. I mean, those are good numbers. They're not Nestor Cortez minor league numbers, but they're good numbers.
He's 16th.
And he improved DVR. Every year. He improved every single year. Like, you know, he started out a little rocky. You know, by the time 2021 rolled, I don't know what he did in 2020 in the camp.
All I know is that his numbers looks like he pitches for the Rockies. So DVR, sorry, that's the best I had.
I don't know. We can cut that one out in post.
We might have to. Don't cut it. It's fine. DVR, what do you think, Spencer Howard? Is there value here for an under the radar kind of way?
Yeah, but I think the problem you're going to run into in a mixed league is that you're not necessarily going to be able to hold him all the time. In a mono league where you got him, I think, a reservable Howard versus a Jake Odorizzi that has to be in your lineup all the time.
Yeah.
Howard's better, for sure. Like those two guys, I actually think Howard might be better than Odorizzi today if you had to leave him in all the time. But either of those guys, I only want them on a team like that if I can control the matchups in which I get to use them. I think with Howard, the weird thing is, if you go back and look at the old scouting reports, Fangraphs had his changeup as his best pitch on their pitch grades. He doesn't really throw it anymore. At least he hasn't been throwing it this season, the little bits that he's been out there.
How hard does he throw?
Averaging 95.6 on his fastball, so he's up about a tick and a half from where he was last year.
That's with a blister. Or was it a broken fingernail? Whatever.
It was blistering. They were blistered by the Blue Jays. Go ahead.
It's got 2 breaking balls, throws the slider a lot more than the curveball, and theoretically, there's a good changeup somewhere in that arsenal. There's a lot of ways this can work, and I think the AL West has a few soft landing spots, especially Oakland. I guess it doesn't help when you're on the Rangers because you can't pitch against the Rangers. But I think Spencer Howard is worth taking a chance on in deeper leagues where Ian did, and I think worth taking a chance on in some of our mixed leagues where we're going to be desperate for streamers. When he's healthy, when the right matchups come up, you know, a couple at home, 2 start weeks with good matchups.
Team, not 12. We're not 12 team. We're not talking 12 team at this point.
Not right now for 12s. Maybe later in the year he'll end up being good enough to be on a roster in a 12 team league, or when you're just chasing volume late in the year, because at some point, if your ratios aren't good, you flip the switch and just say, I need as many wins and Ks as possible. And if I get lucky with ratios, that's my only chance. Maybe then you'll throw him in a 12 teamer. But for the next month or so, 15 team kind of fringe guy, and then mostly a mono league guy. Probably someone that you could go get easily right now in a long-term league via trade. Can't imagine it's going to take much to get him.
Especially with Ian's attitude toward him, yeah.
You got Joe Barlow in here. By the way, I like the Rangers. I still like the Rangers. I like that team. I think that they might hit more, certainly, than the Oakland A's will. They still have Simeon. They still have Seager. Nate Lowe has been awesome this year. Awesome. And Adolis,
it's got 3 homers.
Adolis is showing signs too, showing signs of being a little bit better than what we feared, which I enjoy because I own him in AL only. It's the only place I own him still. But so I enjoy that team, and I still have hope for Andy Ibañez. I still have hope. I like that team. What about the Guardians? Are the Guardians good? Because I watched them play baseball on Sunday, and they didn't look very good. They were up against Gerrit Cole.
Steve Kwan was out too, right?
No, Kwan was playing. Kwan was playing. No, he came out in.
Oh right,
came
out the next day.
He was out the next day.
Concussed.
No, he wasn't.
Wait, were you at the game where they were throwing stuff at the Guardians?
No. But I have something to say about that. The they were throwing trash on the field, but the trash was in the freaking.
I want a DVR to guess your stance on fans throwing trash on the field. But go ahead. Make
that was
pun.
A layup, I think.
Go ahead.
Is that a layup? Yeah, absolute trash. How dare you?
Those are your Yankee fans. That's your brothers and sisters.
Hey, man, they sometimes you need to tell the truth. And those people, they should, in my opinion, if this was discussed at the stadium the next day, as I was telling my brothers how I felt about it, and the guy in front of me says, "Do you want to ban them from the park forever?" I said, "Yeah, forever. Forever. I want to ban them from the park."
And then he goes, "You look vaguely familiar, sir."
He said, "Are you going to use facial recognition?"
And
he wants to know about the technology you're going to use to enforce.
Yeah, no. And then my brother, my older brother, who is a Patriots fan, lives in Boston. And he said what they do at Patriots games is if you sell your tickets and someone misbehaves from your seat that you sold, you lose those tickets.
Yeah, that's been the threat in Green Bay, too. My wife's family has season tickets, and they've always been hesitant to sell them to people they don't know on the days they can't go for that reason. So I don't know how much they enforce it, but it, as some kind of deterrent, works on some people.
I'm telling you, if you throw bottles at baseball players, I don't think you should be banned for like a couple of months. I think you should be gone for, let's say, 10 years. Give them the Will Smith. 10 years.
Give them the
10
Will
years
Smith.
You're not allowed in 10 years. You're not allowed in the stadium. That's how I feel about it. I was embarrassed. And then John Boy, who was really good. Do you guys watch John Boy? Do you guys ever watch his breakdowns?
Yeah. Dude, are you talking about Garrett Cole wiping his butt? Or was that not John Boy?
No, I don't think that was John Boy. That was somebody else. That looks, I beat up on Garrett Cole so much last week. My younger brother was like, dang. He didn't say dang, but dang.
I love Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole talked to his dad, apparently, if he had, you know, because he pitched a lot better. He looked really good. But on his butt, someone did point this out. I'm not making an accusation, but that he had something that looked like a foreign substance. And after every pitch, he would wipe his hand on his buttocks.
Yeah, well, when you walk off the field, the umpire's not checking your butt. He's checking your hands. So if you were going to, you know, have something.
But the problem is, if you're rubbing your buttocks and you get a little bit on your hand, wouldn't the umpire feel it from your buttocks?
No, because you have a left and a right cheek. So you have the on and the off side for, this is the side where I load up and this is the side where I get rid of it.
Dang.
Fair.
Right. Wow. So you got a body part they're not checking. It's within reach. That's where you put the sticky stuff. You see how many guys are still messing around with their jersey in their pants? Like they can't get the jersey tucked in right. It's amazing. These guys are 27, 28, 29 years old. They don't have to tuck in their shirt yet. Been playing baseball since Little League. It's remarkable.
You're saying something without saying something, DVR.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's theater, right? This whole crackdown is more about theater and the illusion of competitive fairness. Look at what's happening with the baseballs right now. Like, there's no. Let's.
What's happening with the
baseballs?
We're
just about to go on a rant.
Come on, go, man. You know, I wrote a great story about it. Go, DVR.
Rant.
Spread your wings.
No, we're good. Go. You're in LA, California now. Go.
Look, what do you guys think's happening out there? You think the crackdown actually stopped players from using sticky substances? Like, no one thinks that, right?
I kind of thought that.
Not mad that it's not working. I just didn't expect it to work. This is purely performative at this point.
Wow. And, well, the balls are clearly different because guys are hitting ball. Like, guys hit balls and they're like, they're doing their walkout and then they're like, oh, dang, I got to run. That's happening far too often. It just is. The ball is definitely different. But I say they're going to keep the ball at this level for the rest of the season. Someone else said, no, they're going to change it. It's going to just all of a sudden, balls are going to start flying out again.
The weather's going to change. That's going to be the way the ball interacts with the humidor. The atmospheric conditions will be changing throughout the season. So I think you're going to get different results, even if the ball doesn't change, because of the different way the ball is now treated with the humidor being at all 30 parks.
Does that mean that you want to buy more power hitters?
I think, based on my understanding, you have to study maps and understand where the fluctuations are going to be the greatest, right? So if Oakland had hitters you liked, you'd want to get Oakland hitters later, right? So if you believe that Sheldon Noisy is going to hit 20 home runs this year.
And steal bases, Jesus.
And apparently steal bases. I think he's got middle and corner eligibility too. If you were to think that, you'd probably say it's more likely that he hits 65% of the home runs in the second half of the season. I'm fudging numbers as we go, just to throw out a hypothetical. But I think that's what you're looking for, because the conditions in Oakland right now are extremely pitcher-friendly as a result of humidor plus cold, damp temperature near dew point. Read the story that Eno Saris and Ken Rosenthal wrote, if you hear me trying to sputter out sentence fragments and relay it. Like, I thought it was a really interesting story. I think it does help shed some light on the shape of offense over the course of the season and how it might change a bit from where it is right now.
Is that why Paul Blackburn's doing so well, you think?
It
partially
definitely could be that. And I think schedule's still a pretty big factor for players, good and bad right now, right? Like if you,
for sure, yeah,
if you've been either home in Oakland a lot as a pitcher, you've seen a few bottom five offenses, or at the flip end, like if you've seen a couple of really tough offenses, maybe your numbers are off the charts bad. I think all of that should be under consideration right now.
Bruce Zimmerman is still, Vlad Sedler is a very smart guy, very, very smart guy, great fantasy player, great analyst. And I saw a tweet that he put out saying, Bruce Zimmerman, like if you're buying into the Bruce Zimmerman, you're about to get really hurt. And I've been buying into Bruce Zimmerman and he's been great. Can he keep it up? I actually, this week, I'm not starting him anywhere except for the one place in AL tout where you have to play him, everywhere else because he's playing the Yankees. But he's got a two start week next week against, hold on, let me just see who he's up against next week, because we will not be around. He's got a two start week next week in a 15 team league, home to Minnesota and home to Kansas City in that huge giant park. If he remotely makes it through the Yankee start, which might be hard, he could give up six runs against that team in that ballpark. Do you believe in Bruce Zimmerman in a two-start week? Or here, I'll put it to you this way, guys. Do you take Zimmerman in a two-start week, Minnesota, Kansas City? Or do you take Michael Wacha at home to Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and the Chicago White Sox? I think I know my answer.
I think I do Bruce Zimmerman.
Yeah, I think I'd go Zimmerman. White Sox are not the White Sox right now, though. They've got stuff piling up on them again. But Bruce Zimmerman, I mean, we've got a connection. One of us has a connection. It's not me. That could actually shed some light on maybe the Orioles being better with their pitching than expected. And some of Nando. This is the long term.
Dan Conley?
Yes, please.
Yes.
What does he say?
You have multiple connections.
I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm going to hang out with Sig for a little while. Yeah.
Are you going to the Yankee game tomorrow?
Yeah. Are you going?
Are you serious?
Well, Sig sent me a note. He's like, I'm in town. When can you come to a game? I'm like, well, it's got to be during the day because I got to help with the kids to bed at night. So I'm just going to go shoot up to Yankee Stadium, say hey to Sig. I don't know if I'm going to stay for the whole game.
You got to stay. They're probably going
to. It's kind of boring, man, you know?
Oh, jeez. I have to edit that.
No, you didn't.
Baseball's not boring. Baseball's awesome, especially if you get to sit in the bar mitzvah seats.
I don't know where we sit. I just assume they're just like seats. I don't think it's like a box or anything.
Yeah, but maybe you get the bar mitzvah seats.
Okay.
Do you know what the bar mitzvah seats are? DBR?
No idea.
Okay, here are the bar mitzvah seats. If you grew up like I did in Long Island and you were 13 years old and you went to a bar mitzvah every Saturday between the ages of 12 and the end of your 13th year, you go to a lot of bar mitzvahs. And the thing that happens at a bar mitzvah is people like to show off. So what they do is the catering is you can have anything you want. They have Chinese food. They have Italian food. They have Mexican food. They have Jewish food. They have every kind of food that you could ever want. It's called a bar mitzvah. And when I lived in the East Village, when my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and we lived on 9th Street, we used to go out every once in a while and get ourselves a bar mitzvah, get a little Ukrainian food, get a little blintzes from the dairy place, get a burger. You just get all sorts of different foods. At Yankee Stadium, my younger brother is getting a lot of play today. When they first opened the Legends boxes, right by home plate,
sure,
the really expensive like $300 seats, $500 seats. What they have underneath the stadium is this like separate dining area for you, and you can go there and you can have any food you want. They have lobster tails, they have sushi, good sushi, they have like great steak, they have Italian food, they have Chinese food, they have anything you want. So that's why my brother and I call them the bar mitzvah seats. So if you're going to the game, I only get the bar mitzvah seats like once a year, and the way you do it is on Vivid Seats. You go on Vivid Seats after the game has started. And you drive to the stadium, you wait for, you know, the first inning to be done. And then all of a sudden, the $500 seats go down to $99 seats. And then all of a sudden, you get the bar mitzvah buffet for $99 a person. And you go eat, and then you watch the baseball game.
Food's included.
Food is included.
That's huge. That's,
so you admit
that
baseball is
boring.
That's
a total game changer because you're already looking at, I mean, if you're going to eat even just a brat and some fries and a Pepsi at the ballpark, right? That's $20 most places.
20? That's like 30 at the stadium.
I don't go to games in big markets. I'm used to Milwaukee, so it's fine. So, yes, yeah, so you're looking at like 60, 65 for a great seat, plus the food, if you want to look at it that way. I assume alcohol is not included. You probably got to pay for alcohol.
Alcohol is not included. You got to pay for alcohol.
It'd get reckless. It's not the duck blind at the Mallards game.
It's literally. And then I said to my wife, I was like, we got to pull a Terry Garr from Tootsie. If you've never seen Tootsie, guys, you got to see Tootsie. It's my all-time favorite film of all time, even better than Midnight Run.
All-time favorite?
Wow. All-time, Tootsie's your all-time favorite movie?
They're taking Tootsie like over Citizen Kane and Casablanca.
Yes and yes.
Secrets but the only Walls.
You're taking Tootsie over Caddyshack?
Yes, 100%.
Ghostbusters Boy?
Yes, definitely over both of those. There's the movie. There's one
Godfather
movie
that Part
Two. That's the one that you called it, and that's maybe the only one I would take over Tootsie. Godfather Two ahead of Godfather One just by a smidge, which I think Derek has DVR has still not watched the Godfather movies, which is a shanda, as my people would say. But then Tootsie, yeah, no. But also as an actor, it's about an actor who dresses up as a. It's the best movie ever. So if you want to watch a great movie, it's Dustin Hoffman at his best, Terry Garr. And in the movie, Terry Garr like would go to parties all the time and she would like take food and like put it in her purse. Like she would take a big piece of cake and wrap it in a napkin and put it in her purse. And she's like, I've got a dog at home. I've got a dog. So I said to my wife, next time we're at the bar mitzvah seats, we got to like Terry Garr it up.
I've seen someone pull the Terry Garr once at a RotoWire holiday party at the time. This is a person that, Ian, you actually know from Maki. One who was probably a junior or senior in college. Everyone's looking for food in college.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I didn't think you were going to say his name. That's, wow.
That's all right.
Sorry, Ryan. Like
this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen a person do with food in my entire life. He had his backpack because he came to the holiday party from class. He opened up his backpack and there was some dessert on a table. There was like some cakes and pies and some cookies or whatever. He scooped up what was left of an apple pie. It was probably like a half of an apple pie, like a 10-inch apple pie, good size pie. He picked it up with one hand and he flipped it pie side down into his backpack. And I'm watching this and I had this look of probably stunned disbelief on my face because I thought, well, why wouldn't you put it in a bag and then throw it in your backpack? You know, wrap it up first, right? I think it took him 30 seconds or so to realize what he had just done. But instead of panicking, I would have panicked. I would have freaked out. I'm like, oh, I just destroyed my laptop.
Not anymore. You live in California.
I'd be fine now. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, man, I got a little apple life. Pie on my laptop. Well, whatever. It'll still work. Okay. The key's stuck. I don't care. He finally realizes what he did, but he just zips up the backpack, puts it on his back, and walks out like nothing happened. There's no chance that he didn't get to the sidewalk a minute later and just have the meltdown about everything he destroyed in his backpack for the sake of a free apple pie.
It's the Terry Garr.
Now I know where it came from. That's where he saw it. He saw Tootsie.
Absolutely.
I don't know, man. I don't know if a junior in college saw Tootsie.
He bet the greatest movie of all time.
I'm gonna say there's a chance he did. Maybe
Godfather 2, maybe Godfather 1. That's about it. Citizen Kane, please. Come on. Caddyshack. It's just about the. Anyway, it was that one scene right after the. Anyway,
we have a gopher problem where I live right now. So I'm thinking a lot about Caddyshack.
Caddyshack is a fine movie. Don't get me wrong. But Tootsie is amazing. I can, if people watch the movie, I can do. There's one great scene that I can do verbatim. But if you haven't watched the movie, it won't make any sense. But I'll do it after the show for you guys, and you'll either laugh or you won't. But it is my favorite movie. Tootsie is definitely my favorite movie. A young Jessica Lange, a young Terry Garr, a young Dustin Hoffman, Sidney Pollack directed it and plays probably my second favorite role in it. Charles Durning is brilliant in it. Great. Great, great movie. But so for us, when we go to the bar mitzvah seats, because I look at it every night on Vivid Seats, as soon as the game starts, I just figure it out. I'm like, oh, $99. Because last night there were tickets for $99. And Nicole's like, we're not going. I'm like, no, we're not going. I just want to point out the tickets are $99.
But right it's now. My birthday week.
No, it's okay. It's soon to be my son's birthday week. So, but they give you free popcorn, free free peanuts in the bag, the Bazzini's peanuts, Godfather. And free Cracker Jacks, free ice cream, free everything. Hanger steak. I mean, it's crab legs. It's a
buried the lead on that one. Know,
with the crab legs?
Yeah, you put the steak and the crab legs last.
Yeah, man. But you get popcorn. But you get peanuts.
No, but you're not going to bring the crab legs home and you're not going to bring the steak home, but you can bring the peanuts home and then instead you bring them to the game the next time. Anyway, I'm being a little funny about it, but there's a great value to be had. There's a marketing inefficiency
oh, man.
with these with these tickets.
I just thought another great secondhand Terry Garr story, another RotoWire story. I won't name this person, but someone took a towel from their room down to the buffet and took a bunch of brownies and wrapped them up in a towel and put them back in their room. And you know, everyone had like a roommate situation. The roommate goes to grab a bath towel and like four brownies fall out.
It's the Terry Garr move, man. It's the Terry Garr move. And it happens twice.
Every RotoWire event was someone smuggling food from a place they weren't supposed to take it from, or you know, doing a poor job of taking leftovers, I guess.
It happens in the movie two times. It happens in like the second scene in the movie, and then Dustin Hoffman brings Terry Garr to like a big fancy schmancy party, and then she does it at the fancy schmancy party. Like first is like just a bunch of actors hanging out, which is fun. Oh, Bill Murray's also in Tootsie. Oh my God, I forgot to mention, like they talk about Barry the lead. Bill Murray in a brilliant performance is Dustin Hoffman's best friend. Should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Dustin Hoffman was nominated for Best Actor. I believe Tootsie may have been nominated for Best Picture. If it wasn't, it should have been.
It lost to Godfather, too.
Different year. Is there any more fantasy baseball that we should discuss? Hopefully people were enjoying that little run.
Yeah, you should pick up Joe Barlow in shallow formats because we still don't really know who the closer is there.
I think it's Joe Barlow.
Good. So you want Joe Barlow. So pick him up and trade for him.
They straight up said it's Joe Barlow.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have a save. Jewett wrote a great story about, obviously, Jewett's bullpen reporter is amazing. Cool. Yeah, but like,
really
he wrote it like he had a funny line. Like, you know, they named him the closer, even though he doesn't have a save.
Yeah, but he's looking good. They brought Bush in the eighth. Boy, can I say this about Garrett Whitlock? If Garrett Whitlock, they should just make him the dang closer because they would have won that game last night. They're up 5-2 and they're messing with Diekman, the Robles. Just put freaking Whitlock in the game. Let him close games against good teams and then let him pitch three innings after Rich Hill. Like situationally use him. That's what I say because they should have won that game last night.
They should just spend more resources on their bullpen instead of acting like they're a team with a $90 million payroll.
Yeah, but they've got Matt Barnes. I mean, they've got Barnes is supposed to be the closer, and he's just not. He's not any good. Okay, wait. I do have to talk about this Twins-Tigers game last night. Did you see this ending of the game last night?
Yep. All sorts of bad stuff.
Oh, my God. Eric Haas lost that game, and I'm going to say in a weird way how he lost that game. The whole game was lost on the first pitch that Gregory Soto threw. Did you happen to see that pitch, Derek, DVR?
Oh, the first pitch in the season. I'm trying to remember. I know there was a walk to Trevor Larnach that shouldn't have been a walk. And it was because Haas wasn't framing well. He was yanking pitches all over the place.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Soto missed his target by about 32 inches, the size of a TV, roughly.
But no, it was that first pitch. The first pitch was a strike right down the middle, a little bit above center cut. But what Haas did was he caught it and pulled his glove down. And didn't get the call. And this was like as bad as you. I mean, this wasn't like it was close. It wasn't close at all. It was like in the center of the box. Soto doesn't get that call. And then his head goes bye-bye and can't throw another strike after that. It was remarkable to see. And then Haas, that play at the end of the game. So finally, Soto walks Larnach. Soto walks Gio Urshela. Eight pitches, right? And it was looking really bad. Kepler comes in, Soto strikes him out, looks awesome. And it's like, all right, there you go. Come on, Soto. Come on, baby. The next hitter is Sano. He hits a line drive to right field. Grossman, for the second time that I've noticed at least, does not catch a ball that he should have caught. As a professional baseball player, you got to catch that ball. Goes off his glove. He so should have caught the ball that Larnach couldn't believe he didn't catch the ball. Does not score. The ball goes to the wall. And Larnach's like, oh, wow. Then Sano, in a bonehead play, starts running from first to second, and you have one of those situations where you have, like, three guys for two bases. Haas then airmails the ball to left field, and the Twins win the game. It was so shocking and so much. What an amazing night last night was because it had all these ups, huge ups and downs. You know, like, the main event team just went nuts last night, and we're in fourth place, and climbing, coming after that robot. We're coming after you, Dussault. But that moment was just like, no. And you say baseball is boring? Not with that.
Who said
that? That was not boring. That was like unbelievable feeling and awesome. DVR, what were your emotions?
I just thought, watching Eric Haas, the gears were clearly spinning in his head. He was running down towards third base and he was trying to listen to what I think it was Jamer Candelario was telling him to do, throwing the ball. And he started to throw the ball and then let it go, even though he probably changed his mind partway through. And that's why he airmailed it. It was just, I actually just felt bad for him. I think it's one of those plays where there was unexpected chaos, unusual chaos. Ridiculous on the base chaos. Paths. It forces you to problem solve in a way that if you stopped and had a moment to think, you could solve it because you're a baseball player. You've been in all sorts of scenarios, but you're just not expecting it when it happens and it catches you just a little bit off guard. And then something like we saw last night happens.
Cost me a save in too many spots. Cost me a save.
Yeah, I can understand why you're mad about it.
Oh my God. I was just like, no, because I'm a Soto guy and he's throwing great. And boy, that was so, so ugly. Alberto Mondesi injured again. Hello.
I mean, it's him, Buxton, it's Eloy Jimenez. It's happening.
Eloy Jimenez. Ooh. But Oliveras, I think it's Eddie Oliveras. I think he's going to get a chance because here's the way I think it's going to happen. I think they move Merrifield to second base. I think they move Lopez to shortstop. They keep Witt at third. Put Merrifield at second base. Maybe that'll turn him back on because this has been so terrible. He's been so bad. And I think Oliveras gets a chance in the outfield and may keep a job out there once everyone is back.
He's a Nando guy. You want to talk about a Nando guy?
Oliveras. Yeah, tell us why Oliveras is a Nando guy.
He's got those numbers in the minors that I like, man. Good batting average, good on base, power, speed.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a very simple man to figure out. I go to milb.com, which just like vividseats.com. And it's like I go to milb.com, I search for league leaders, and I find these guys who no one's talking about and, go look at their histories and they're great. And I go to baseballreference.com and I look at their minor league stats. And if they have a sustained record of success or even some little blips, I like them. It's like there's not a lot of depth to what I do here.
Yeah, but you seem to be the one who does it better than most. I spelled Oliveras properly. Oh, okay. WR, do you think that Oliveras is a possible pickup for a bench spot? Obviously, AL only. He's already owned. I just picked him up in Devil's Rejects last night. Like the moment after Mondesi got injured, I went to Roster Resource. I was like, yep, it's going to be Oliveras. What do you think? Is he just going to go on the plane back and forth between the minors and the majors again?
I guess I need to know why would it be different this time around? What's going to change how
either
they handled
him or Ryan O'Hearn?
No, what about Nick Prado?
Prado's not even first in line anymore. Isbell?
Prado's hammering the ball, isn't he?
Nope. Three home runs, striking out, not walking, struggling.
Well, three home runs.
Yeah, but that's,
What about Pascua Roletta?
Yeah, he's been okay, but I think that Oliveras gets the first shot. I just do. I think if I was the manager, I would move Merrifield back to second base and see if that unlocks his bat. Because it ain't working. And it's got to start working.
I hope he gets a shot, man. He deserves a shot.
Who?
Oliveras. I mean, like, I know he had a minor, he had like a little mini one, but like then they're just like, oh, sorry. And they yanked the rug from him.
The one guy also on that team that I think you can get fooled by is Carlos Santana. He's hitting the ball really hard. Did we talk about this last week? He's doing well. He trained with Nelson Cruz over the winter. He's just been really unlucky. And I think he's going to turn it around. I like Carlos Santana.
Jeez, dude. Oliveras hit 500 in spring training.
Yes, I know.
34. No, literally hit 500.
17 for 34. How many home runs did he have?
Three home runs.
How many stolen bases did he have?
Two steals.
It's pretty good numbers.
1.497 OPS. But he did grab it to a double play.
That's why the show is called Under the Radar, because nobody's talking about him right now. But I think that I do think he's going to get a chance. I think he will play. I think that's how.
Shallow McGee.
Shallow McGee.
That'd be a different show.
It'd be a different show. That's the move. The move is to, not that we don't have enough shows on this thread, but yeah, that's what it is. All right, now I do got to
talk
go.
Enough.
DBR, you talk constantly. We are so lucky, Nando, that Derek shows up for our show.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
No, I enjoy agree. Doing the show.
I know, but...
And reveal secrets of RotoWire, the RotoWire diaries.
But also, no, the key moment from the show today was when he started talking about Spencer Howard's velocity and the changeup. Like, otherwise, it's just me and you, like, messing around in the sandbox. We get the adult in the room shows up and says, guys, there's also this, and this is how this works. And this is like, he's literally the best ciabatta in the world. There's a callback for you.
How about that? Hey, they got ciabatta in those seats?
They do.
They have to. Yeah, they have to.
Come on, they have a Cubano sandwich. Nando, DeVino, that guy can get you into the bar mitzvah seats. Guaranteed. You got to get into the bar mitzvah seats.
I don't think Sting has ever gotten me tickets before. I've always gone in with a press pass.
Ooh.
So I don't know what the seats are, but I assume like.
They'll be fine. There was the stadium had 12,000 people last night.
Yeah, I don't want good seats.
Last point, Nate Pearson.
I want to hang out. I don't want to get hit by a foul ball.
Nate Pearson could be a Strider or a Thompson, I think, is what you put him in there with a question mark. Nate Pearson, question mark.
I'm so confused by Nate Pearson.
No, I think that could be his gig. He could be a Garrett Whitlock. It would make sense.
Like I'm in this AL only league that I have these weird decisions that I have to make because there's no bench. When Nate Pearson comes off the IL and if he's activated, I have 10 days to decide him or Jorge Lopez. And the question
Jorge Lopez.
I have a lot of closers.
Trade one. Jorge Lopez.
I can, but he's attached to. I can trade, but I mean, like, it has these weird rules. Like, if Pearson's attached to Lopez, I've got to trade them both. Oh. You know, like, they go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if you have to choose between the two, I'm not saying. I don't care. Whatever you think.
So this
think
is Dynasty League.
No.
This is a Dynasty League.
Still.
And Nate Pearson in 2 years could be like a stud starter. And I could be the guy who traded him to keep Jorge Lopez.
I have nothing to say. I don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion.
Guys, screw me out of Nestor Cortez.
See, then that's why I have no opinion, because that's what you say. All right. We got to wrap. I got somewhere to be in 3 minutes.
Oh, right. We got to go. For the man who's now got his guard up every time Chris Vaccaro's name shows up on our show.
You know it.
For the man who's just thought of about 16 movies that are better than Tootsie, Ian Khan.
That is not the case.
We'll see you later, everybody. Hide those cakes in your backpacks.
Bye. Good talk.